for the Senate impeachment trial instead of on the campaign trail in Iowa, with less than 2 weeks until the first of the nation's many caucuses. With that story and more, here's Lily Bolke with 2020 Talks.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
Well, I'm certainly super excited to get out to towns and counties throughout the state over the next 2 weeks. I feel bad for my competitors that have to head to D.C. for this impeachment trial because I wish they were out campaigning too.
Businessman Andrew Yang, on his 18-day Iowa bus tour leading up to caucus night, he and the other non-senators, including former Vice President Joe Biden and former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, are going strong in their competitors' absence. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders canceled a rally at the University of Northern Iowa today, asking supporters to get out and stump for him while he's in Washington, as are surrogates for Senators Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, and Michael Bennett of Colorado. Klobuchar recently explained her impending absence from the Hawkeye State at a packed community event in Johnston, Iowa.
While I am a jury representing our country in that hearing, you are also a jury. You're a big jury. Like a lot of people in a big jury box. And you are blessed, really, with the decision of who should lead our ticket in taking on this president. And it's not an easy decision. I know that. But I want to make my case to you tonight in this barn, which is very fitting. I like barns.
It's a tough time for Klobuchar to not be in Iowa with momentum building. She scored another local endorsement, the editorial board of Quad City Times, on the heels of the unconventional two-way nod for her and Warren from the New York Times board. And a recent Focus on Rural America poll has her at 11% in the Hawkeye State, her personal best. The poll also asked who would be most beneficial for rural America specifically, and Klobuchar led the field at 29%.
The Midwest isn't flyover country to me. I live here.
Rhonda Martin, a city council member from Johnston, endorsed Klobuchar, in part for her Midwestern demeanor.
We don't talk about ourselves and brag about ourselves like certain people do. You know, farmers will be like, well, wow, your soybeans look so great. Yeah, but you should see the corn.
Sanders faced harsh criticism from 2016 Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, his former competitor. In a new Hulu documentary series to air March 6th, she said he's, quote, a career politician, unquote, whom nobody likes. His supporters lit up social media, echoing some voters in central Iowa.
I like Bernie Sanders because I think he appeals to the people.
I want to shout out Bernie Sanders. I love Bernie Sanders.
When Bernie's in town, I'm there. I go wherever Bernie's at.
Sanders said his focus was, quote, on a monumental moment in American history, the impeachment trial of Donald Trump, unquote. One place Clinton may agree. In a Hollywood Reporter interview published yesterday, Clinton said it was too early to say whether she'll support Sanders should he get the nomination. But she did say she'll fight to get the incumbent out of office. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
Using a three-zone buffer system around a stream can dramatically improve water quality for all of us. With more on this story about sustainability and stewardship, it's Eric Phillips with CurrentCast.
Protecting a stream's comfort zones on this CurrentCast. When we destroy the ecosystem along a stream, we threaten water quality, displace wildlife, and increase the risk of flooding. Robert Jaden of the University of Maryland says that a three-part buffer between the water and adjacent land can help preserve a healthy waterway.
The three-zone buffer does it all.
In the first zone, trees stabilize the bank and cool the water. A second forested zone provides habitat for wildlife and absorbs contaminants. Finally, a zone of grasses helps slow the flow of rain and runoff. Every site is different, but three-zone buffers have helped dramatically improve water quality in the Chesapeake Bay and can be adapted to a variety of settings. CurrentCast, produced with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future and made possible by the Foundation for Pennsylvania Watersheds. Online at currentcast.org.
Water levels are dropping dangerously low in the Panama Canal, resulting in fewer ships being able to make the crossing. With that story and more, here's Franny Halperin and Jamie Sutler with This Week in Water.
Is the Panama Canal running out of water? That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
The Panama Canal connects the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, and more than 12,000 cargo and passenger ships travel through it every year. But currently, there's not enough water to handle all that traffic.
One might think that the water in the canal is from the oceans it connects. However, it actually requires millions of gallons of fresh water to operate.
The canal's administration released an analysis showing that 2019 was the fifth driest year in 70 for the area, with rainfall 20% below the historic average. The current dry season is just beginning, which could last as late as July.
Last year, water depths in the canal reached such low levels that limits had to be imposed on the amount of cargo that ships could carry. Any weight above the limit had to be offloaded and moved overland.
The canal also supplies fresh water to Panama City, home to about half of the country's population of 4 million. And as the Associated Press reports, each ship's passage involves millions of gallons of fresh water, much of which is released into the oceans.
A $5 billion expansion of the canal in 2016 significantly increased its ability to handle bigger ships, but that also requires much more water.
To fund solutions to the problem, ships passing through the canal will have to pay higher fees, and the number of slots has been reduced from 32 to 27 per day.
Despite opposition from many environmentalists, the Senate last week passed the new trade deal among the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, known as the USMCA, a revised version of the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA.
10 Democratic senators opposed the legislation, echoing the concerns of 9 major environmental groups, including the Sierra Club and the Sunrise Movement.
The groups criticized the bill for not addressing climate change and for failing to adequately tackle toxic pollution. They say the agreement includes weak environmental standards and has an even weaker enforcement mechanism than the deal it replaces.
Critics also say USMCA supports fossil fuels and allows oil and gas corporations to challenge climate and environmental protections.
The New Republic reports that all of the tar sands oil that flows to the U.S. from Canada through the Keystone XL pipeline will be exempt from tariffs under the new agreement.
At the end of last week, heavy rains and thunderstorms hit parts of Australia's east coast.
The rains doused some of the region's fires, but also brought the threat of flooding to some areas. The fires have been burning since September, destroying thousands of homes, killing 28 people, and about a billion animals.
The BBC reports that about 75 fires were still burning in New South Wales on Saturday, down from over 100 a few days ago.
But there's some good news. A secret operation of specialist firefighters saved the world's last stand of wallaby pines from the bushfires.
The pines are a prehistoric species known as dinosaur trees, which grow up to 130 feet high and are believed to have existed since the Jurassic period 200 million years ago, predating many dinosaurs.
Agence France-Presse reports that fewer than 200 of the trees exist in the wild, hidden in a gorge hit by one of the biggest bushfires.
As fire came close, air tankers dropped fire retardant in a ring around the trees, while firefighters were lowered into the gorge to set up an irrigation system to provide moisture for the pines.
The operation was described as an unprecedented environmental protection mission that saved the ancient species.
It's been assumed that as drought increases in parts of the world, so will conflict. That assumption has been supported by research that shows regional wars, such as those in Syria, Yemen, and Sudan, will be exacerbated by climate change.
But a new study shows that drought may not always lead to conflict because, as the news site Earther describes, going to war over dry land may simply not be worth it.
During particularly dry years, it's been more valuable for nations to recruit agricultural workers as soldiers to acquire more territory rather than farm.
But if drought becomes normal, it doesn't make much sense to obtain new land because it might not be very productive anyway.
However, Elizabeth Chalecki of the University of Nebraska said that dry years or wet years, good harvests or bad, climate change is causing conditions to become more variable, and we might see more conflict just because of less predictability year to year.
The study doesn't show that we'll see less war in a warming world. Other variables not analyzed, such as forced migration due to a lack of water, could increase the likelihood of war in some places. And finally this week, when we do laundry, research shows that with each load, we're sending hundreds of thousands of microfibers down the drain, which ultimately flow into oceans and harm sea life. But according to new research, you can reduce your impact and make your clothes last longer.
Scientists from the University of Leeds have found that shorter, cooler wash cycles not only keep clothes looking good, but release fewer microfibers into wastewater.
In fact, the researchers found that cold, short washes reduce the amount of fibers released by over half, and that the amount of dye going down the drain was cut by nearly three quarters.
And washing clothes in cooler water reduces its carbon footprint by using about two-thirds less energy.
The study was conducted with a team from Procter & Gamble, who said clothes get just as clean because of advances in detergents that rely on sustainable ingredients such as enzymes.
Bottom line, short cold washes will slow down the aging of clothes, so you're going to save money replacing garments and on your energy bill, all while reducing the impact on ocean environments.
That's it for this week in water. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael and Yasmin Kobanoglu. The producer is Nat Moon, and our engineer is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Lily Bolke, Antonia Gonzalez, Franny Halperin, Eric Phillips, and Jamie Sutler. The evening news director is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. This is KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Andrew Geller.
And I'm Nat Moon. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 8, it's Voices from the Edge, featuring a live interview with the editors of Oregon Historical Quarterly with your host, Linda Olsen Osterlund. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, it's Flashpoints with investigative reporting from Dennis Bernstein. Then at 11, it's Between the Covers, where host Ken Jones talks with Don Merrill, author of the book Pledge, the Public Radio Fund Drive. And at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures, bringing you conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate. Stay tuned for news from the Boo coming up right now.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
Good evening. You are tuned into News from the Boo here on your community radio station. I'm your host, Jenna Yokoyama, one of your interim station co-managers. And here on the News from the Boo, we talk about all things KBOO happen inside the station, outside the station, all the things to look forward to, whether you're a volunteer, a member, or listener, or future volunteer. That's right, I'm putting you out there. Maybe you too are listening, should become a volunteer, a future volunteer. In your mind, you're probably already there. That's right. If you want to become a volunteer, just email our volunteer coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org. Well, every week I tend to talk to someone either who's new on staff or somebody who's just part of our KBOO community. And tonight I am speaking with Michael Leverett, our national syndication producer, who we well, on staff at least, we call them the Syndicator. Welcome, Michael Tuber.
Hello, Radioland. Yay, it's so great to be here at KBOO. I'm so happy to be a part of the KBOO family. So happy.
Yeah, we're really excited that you have joined the KBOO family. And you know, this is your first time on News from the Boo, but this is actually not your first time on KBOO, because I heard you on Monday during the MLK broadcast.
Yeah.
Where you did an amazing interview.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I thought it went great.
Tootie toot.
Tootie toot toot. But no, I just want to commend KBOO for just having awesome MLK Day tribute. I thought it went great.
Can we give a round of applause to Tammy?
Big
who planned
props
that
to
whole
Tammy.
Morning
yes.
And was our head producer for the whole remote broadcast.
What was it?
You know, it's funny. I actually tuned in a little short into your interview. So what was it that you all were talking about? Because it was super fascinating.
Well, we were talking about the history of black broadcasting.
Okay.
And how it kind of related to Martin Luther King Jr. And there actually is quite a history behind Martin Luther King and his experience with black broadcasters during the civil rights era and, you know, getting out the message about what's going on in the civil rights movement, you know, what events were taking place and protests and strikes and stuff. And he made those moves through black radio. Yeah, because I think what Martin Luther King, he didn't say it word for word, but he did make a statement, and it was sort of along the lines of one of his greatest assets and one of his greatest tools was black radio, black broadcasting. Mm-hmm. He said that himself. So, I mean, it just goes to show you what the power of black broadcasting is. And yeah, so that's what we celebrated. Whoop-de-whoop. Yeah.
Well, speaking of people in radio...
Yes.
You're in radio. We're in a radio station right now.
Yes.
And you are helping us to produce powerful radio.
I am. Yeah. And I tell you, I love every minute of it. You know, I have brushed up on my history of KBOO, and I worked at a similar sort of type radio station in Chicago with so much history behind it. It was at WVON, which was a black-owned radio station. Had over 50 years of, you know, of just history in the community. And that's the feeling and the vibe I get here at KBOO. It's about the history. It's about the influence that you guys have on the community. And I admire that. I admire the just the respect that you have for the community, how you inform and how you keep us empowered. Like, I can't express enough the word empowerment because that's what community radio is all about. It's about empowerment. So, yeah. And that's why I'm so happy to be a part of the KBOO family, because I listen to some of this. I listen to some of the radio shows here, like Progressive Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like blown away by just like how awesome it is, you know, our Black Book Talk and Locust Focus, Labor Radio, you know, all the syndicated shows that I produce.
Well, let's
basically
talk about that.
Yeah.
For maybe people who are like, what does a national syndication producer do? What is it that you do at KBOO?
Well, so basically the syndicated shows that you guys listen to, like across the nation, like Labor Radio, Locust Focus, Prison Pipeline, Black Book Talk, The Bike Show, I am in charge of making sure those are edited over the air. So our local affiliates and affiliates across the nation, across the, you know, the U.S., you know, wherever, if they want to upload it to their radio stations so their listeners can listen to it on their community radio stations, you know, it's available to them. So that's my job.
Yeah, I think this would actually surprise a lot of people who are local listeners. You know, they hear Labor Radio, they hear Prison Pipeline, but they don't realize that other people across the nation are actually listening to it as well. So that's one of our special things that we do here.
Because it's such good material, so why keep it, you know, just with us?
And
you
it's
know?
Also part of that community radio spirit where, you know, if you are a regular listener to KBOO, then you hear shows such as, like, Flashpoint, so you'll hear other shows that are produced at, like, KPFA or KPFK, and we play their shows, and then in turn, other radio stations play our shows. So it's kind of this great, when we say community radio, it's not usually just about our community here. It's actually part of the larger community radio community.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you definitely help us contribute to that,
and
you help us
so
manage all of that. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but you know what? It's work if you're... if you're passionate about the stuff that you're talking about, like the stuff that KBOO touches on are topics that you're not going to find from regular radio stations around,
yeah,
you know,
the iHeart
way. I'm coming from radio stations where they were liberal talk radio, you know, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, you know, the DNC, Trump, blah, 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 you know. But here, though, you guys are talking about things that you're not going to normally hear, that, you know, we need to hear, that the little person needs to hear.
The grassroots info.
Yeah. Exactly. That radical point of view that maybe somebody else around the way is going to be like, that's a little bit too touchy. Nah.
Yeah.
It needs to be talked about.
But
and
here
that's
at KBOO,
I
feel like at KBOO, we're like, radical, that's normal. All
right.
The rest of you, just come on.
Yeah,
bring it up.
Exactly.
Level it up. Just come up to where we're
level
at.
Up. Level it up. Exactly. And that's what I love about places like KBOO is like we're not afraid to touch on those topics and they need to be discussed.
And then we syndicate it out have other stations.
Exactly.
Play it.
Exactly.
Okay. So how many shows are we currently syndicating out to other stations?
That's a good question, because I do share my syndicated duties with another wonderful syndicated producer here, Lenita. I want to say...
It's about a dozen shows?
It's about a dozen shows, yes.
That is so much work.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people are like, well, what is it exactly that you do? Labor Radio will like say air on Monday night, and mm-hmm. then what do you do? How do you make it syndicatable? What does that mean?
Right. So basically, it airs on Monday night, and then what I do is on either right after Monday, after the show airs on Monday, or on Tuesday morning, what I do is I take it, edit it, on our editing equipment, our wonderful editing equipment here in KBOO, or, you know, at home on my personal computer. And, you know, I make sure that it's available and ready for national radio stations that are, you know, syndicated that also want to listen to the show, and making sure that we take out, you know, the station IDs like of KBOO, so, you know, they won't get confused about, you know, where they are and, you know, that.
Yeah, so if you're listening on a station, if you're listening on WBAI in New York, you're not hearing, you're listening
exactly.
to KBOO, because that
right.
just gets confused.
And
so
exactly.
you edit that kind of stuff
yes.
out.
Yes, we want to make it radio ready for other radio stations, basically. Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a fun thing to do, because you're just sitting there for hours and stuff, and you just listen to cool radio material and cool
yeah,
radio.
You don't
yeah.
have too shabby of a job around here, I gotta say. You got a pretty
yeah.
great job. Good for
I like
you.
I like it. So yeah, so that's what we do, and it's great, because like I said, it's so much just dope stuff to just like to listen to and to like keep informed about, and I love it. KBOO is just doing the thing out here, and I'm so proud and happy to be a part of this. I am.
Okay, well, thank you, Michael, so much for being our syndicator and for joining us on News from the Boo.
Thank
here
you so
for
much.
For the first time
yes.
ever. We'll be checking it in a couple
yes.
months for the to see what's up with the Michael Lover Show and what's up with syndication.
Okay, thank you so much.
As usual, in our last few minutes here on News from the Boo, we're going to do some announcements about all the things coming up here at KBOO Community Radio. So we have some classes that you can sign up for if you're a volunteer. If you're not a volunteer member, you can become one. Just email our volunteer coordinator, volunteer@kboo.org, to find out how to become one. Well, actually, I'll tell you a little bit right now. We have our next volunteer orientation on Tuesday, February 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. Again, you can email any questions you have about that to volunteer@kboo.org, or you can just show up on Tuesday, February 4th at 6 to 8 or from 6 to 8 p.m. here at KBOO Community Radio. That's 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're at 8th and Burnside. So that's our volunteer orientation. Classes that we have for current volunteers, we have a news anchoring training happening tomorrow, Thursday, January 23rd. That's at 4:30 p.m. So if you want to learn how to read the news, be one of those people who read it live, then come on down for that training, 4:30. Then our next FCC legal training is Friday, January 24th. That's going to be at 11 a.m. here at the station. Then we have digital editing happening on Monday, February 3rd
from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Remember, you can sign up for all those classes on your VicNet account. Remember, you can go to your VicNet account. A quick way to get there is to go to kbu.fm/volunteer if you've lost that bookmark on your browser. Some upcoming meetings we have. The board meeting is coming up for this month on Tuesday, January 28th from 6 to 8. Usually our board meetings happen on the fourth Monday, but for this month it's happening on Tuesday. Again, that's Tuesday, January 28th from 6 to 8, and that is open to the public. So come on down and enjoy a board meeting. Then committee meetings. We have a development committee meeting that is happening right before the board meeting on Tuesday, January 28th at 4:30 p.m. Then we have an engineering meeting. The usual normal monthly engineering meeting is Thursday, February 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. Okay, volunteer needs in our membership department. We are already starting to take volunteer signups for our winter drive. That'll be coming up in a few weeks. So if you're one of those phone answerers or supervisor or somebody who likes to pitch, just go onto your VicNet account and sign up there. We also have signups here inside the station. Got any questions? Make sure to just email volunteer@kboo.org. And in the programming department, we are accepting program proposals for talk show openings. If you got an idea, go ahead and email Tammy at publicaffairs@kboo.org. Again, that's for talk show proposals. Then on the fifth Friday of this coming month, that's coming up on Friday, January 24th, we have some spots for some guest DJing. If you have always kind of wondered how to do some DJing, want to be a music DJ, but you're not quite ready to do it by yourself, or maybe you want to watch someone do it, or again, you know, just have a moment to try it out on the board, we have a volunteer who will be helping people out from 8 p.m. till midnight. That's Friday, January 24th. If you want to participate in that, email Aaron, our program director, at program@kboo.org. And one last thing in our programming department is that if you are interested in producing any sort of story or interview for Black History Month, make sure to email our news director, Althea, at newsdirector@kboo.org or Tammy at publicaffairs@kboo.org. In the development department, we have a tabling event that's happening. We're going to be tabling at the Mochitsugi annual event that's happening at PSU. So if you're at that event, stop on by the table and say hello. And in our facilities needs department, we are looking for a vacuum. You got a really awesome, working, amazing vacuum that you want to donate to KBOO. Hey, we need that. If you got one, go ahead and email me. That's manager@kboo.org and let me know. Hey, I got something that sucks. We're also looking for people who want to join our facilities team. That's people who want to help us maintain. We have a group of volunteers who help us sweep and mop and help us fix windows, do all the sorts of things that we need to actually help maintain the station on a daily basis. I know that it's actually quite a fun team because I've been part of it. So if you're interested in joining our facilities team, go ahead and email volunteer@kboo.org. And I'm going to put out a special request. We're looking for a handyman to help us do some simple kind of quick fixes around the stations. We got to install a couple pieces of hardware. We need to do some easy plumbing fixes. So if you are our handyman, whether you're a volunteer or not here at KBOO, go ahead, send me an email. That's manager@kboo.org, because we need your handyman skills. So as usual, we've run out of time here on News from the Boo. We always have so many announcements, always so many things going on inside and outside of KBOO. I've been your host, Jenna Yokoyama, your interim station co-manager. We'll be talking to you next week on News from the Boo. That's every Wednesday at 5:45 to 6. Tune in to hear about what's going on inside and outside of your community radio station. So we'll be talking to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:58. Coming up next is The Underground after these short messages.
The Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center wouldn't exist without the local folks who volunteer their time to help the homeless. In episode 4 of the third season of Local Folks Podcast, we meet Tiana, Pete, and John to learn what they do, why they volunteer, and what they have learned about the homeless and themselves as a result. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm. Go to audio, podcasts, and click on Local Folks.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dost movie screening on Saturday, February 1st at 3:30 p.m. at Cinema 21 in Portland. Dost is a documentary about a young lady who uses psychedelic therapy to overcome her addiction to heroin. After the show, there will be a panel discussion featuring members of the cast and production. They will be taking questions from the audience. Again, that's the Dost movie screening on Saturday, February 1st at 3:30 p.m. at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is working with Beautiful Portland to collect socks and blankets for those who are sleeping outside this winter. Lobby of KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, between Burnside and Ankeny. Donations are accepted Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
I was never cool in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years, I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me. Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be happy?
We can be happy.
Good evening, friends at KBOO listening to us. This is the KBOO Youth Collective. I am Thomas. And today, for our monthly show, our theme is humor. Now, to begin with, we have an interview with hands to mouth. Right, Luke?
Yep.
Luke's over here. And this is by him and Umi. Enjoy.
And this is
Umi.
And today we are interviewing some people from hand to mouth. Would you guys like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is